All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. See? Suck it. I can do it if I want to do it. I just choose not to do it because I respect the man that does it. Hope everybody's doing good. Welcome to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you from 1 to 4 every day. You know how we do it. No surprise, Joel having a few technical difficulties. I'm not going to blame him. Yesterday, I was mean to Joel. Not going to say it's his fault today because stuff happens. We're going to get him connected up, and we're going to form the Suspects Voltron again with the three of us. But right now, we're going to work on getting Joel connected. But in the meantime, if you want to reach out to the show, don't call. We're not taking your phone calls because we're all scattered around, so that'll be awkward. But you can absolutely text the show. I'll be reading those all day. 713-780-3776 is the number. You can text that number and then hit us up on Twitter. At Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, and at Barry is funny. How you doing, Nick? Are you good?
I am doing well. Joel, not so much, but I'm doing pretty good.
Is he going to have to drive in again, or are we just, is it going to be you and me?
We're contemplating all kinds of things. He might call in. He might drive in.
Oh, my God. He's going to call in?
That'll be awful. Who knows?
That'll just be awful.
But, no, I'm doing pretty well. Made it another Netflix night. Really couldn't do much with the lockdown in place. How was yours? How was your night, man?
You've been getting out of the house. Me, I am still in the same clothes that I had on Sunday. So it's the same raggedy green shorts and gray shirt. And I haven't showered in a few days. I've gained about 4 pounds. This is not going well so far for me.
The takeout part of everything is absolutely making me eat so bad. I mean, I'm taking out fajitas. I'm getting burgers DoorDash to me. I'm getting all kind. I had a dry aged burger from this place called Burger I Am that I've never tried before. It was
okay.
It was amazing. I probably gained about 10 or 15 pounds. So, yeah, the food part is cool.
Did you do takeout last? Because it was National Takeout Night last night. Did you order takeout?
I've been doing In-N-Out takeout because I don't want to just keep paying for delivery fees. So I've been doing takeout to places like a mile or less away from
that. Well, that's good, though. But you did your part, and you've been doing your part. So everybody else needed a national night to order takeout, but not Fat Nick. You've been ordering takeout on your own.
You didn't
need a night.
Yeah,
like the rest of America did. You've been supporting.
Yeah, I didn't need anything trending on Twitter. Yeah, no.
I went to go and order. I tried to order takeout from Big City Wings, and I'm happy to report that they were so busy that I just gave up and ate at the house. But I'm going to order tonight. So the good news is that people were actually ordering from you know, some Big City Wings and other places. So that's good. So I figured, you know what, if I didn't do it last night, I'll do it tonight. They still get my money. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody right now is obviously, like, with the shutdown, I guess I'm assuming they're supposed to be ordering everything through delivery. But me driving into the studio, I feel like there's a lot of people deemed essential in the city right now. I'm not saying there's a lot of traffic, but there's a lot more people on the road than I expected, considering the shutdown is in place. But hey, people got to do things, man. I guess we can't completely stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You were feeling pretty good about yourself when you got that letter. And then you saw the list. You're like, well, damn. It's like
I'm not that exclusive.
Yeah. It's like everybody but accountants are. That's it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people on the road. I know you've been staying at home, but there's quite a bit of traffic, man. I mean, it's not like it's still a 20-25 minute drive, which is fantastic for me, but there's a lot more people on the road, like I said, than I expected. No
That's
doubt.
Good. I got to get out of this house. I'm going to go after the show today. I'm going to put on my new running shoes and I'm going to go run a couple miles, and then I'm going to come back and get the wife, and Nora and I are going to go for a walk. But I will say this, and this is probably going to upset a lot of people, but it's a 100% fact. And shout out to Steven Huzek because he tweeted me this.
But he was like, Barry, I love my kids like nothing else. Probably aren't hating your decision to not have kids right about now. Let me just tell you.
Oh.
I am so happy there are no kids in this house.
Oh, I cannot.
Oh, my God.
I'd go crazy.
I'd be losing my mind right now. I have one cat that won't stop jumping on chairs. It's driving me nuts. And I'm like, this is a cat. I can just put him in a room and shut the door and be like, yeah, whatever. He'll be fine. I'll feed him in a little bit. A kid, you can't just, I guess you could, but.
Well, I mean, could you shut up, like, could you put him in a room and, like, shut the door for, like, I don't know, like a segment at a time and then go back in commercial break?
I don't know how that works. I don't have kids. I don't presume to know.
What if Joel
just
puts Taylor in the closet for like 10 minutes at a time? Is it really that big a deal?
See, now there's the difference between putting them in a room and the closet, Nick. You can't put a kid in the closet.
I think that's when you
hit abuse.
We might have Joel. Let's see if we have Joel. Joel, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Well, I better be, because the first thing I hear out of your cotton picking mouth is the fact that you're putting my daughter in a closet.
Nope. That was Nick.
I didn't say you, Barry.
No, we were talking about how, like, with cats and dogs, you could just put, you know, a cat or a dog in the closet and close the door for like 5 or 10 minutes. But you can't do that with children. That's what we were saying.
No, yeah, exactly right. And the fact that Lisa took the kids and went on a ride because we were doing videos from home, which was an adventure too, by the way, before this. Yeah, she's all, and of course the TV and my wife, it's like, you should have seen the mass panic on her face when I said this morning, babe, I'm going to shoot a few videos at about noon and then going to connect. And we were trying to think of, cause as after the problems yesterday, like which room in the house might have the best internet connection. And we were going, and also she goes, oh my God, you're filming TV in here today. And I was like, Lisa, stop worrying about it. She goes, what are you going to wear? I go, a hat, maybe backwards. She goes, oh no. And you need this backdrop and you need this and we need this lighting and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, please stop, woman. All I want to do is make sure we get the video done and I'm good.
I think she's using TV a little loosely, right?
Yeah, because AJ called it the coronavirus version of Sports Map.
Yeah. And so it's web-based. It's not actual. I mean, unless you're doing a spot for a station, she can relax a little bit. Web-based, there's not as many rules, right?
She's like, but again, she's using my lines against me. But she goes, you're marketing yourself no matter every time you're on video, which means you've got to do this, you got to do that. I was like, Lisa, we're not talking about your career now. We're talking about me just getting some videos done for the sake of Gal Media.
Well, you probably need all the help you can get. She probably gave you some good pointers anyway. Lighting, camera angle, all that other good stuff.
Wait till you do videos, Nick, and then you can see how effective it might be. Because at this point, I don't think anything that she does is going to enhance me where I need to be.
Never know. Never know.
I will say this, though, by the way, when we talked about in the past, like the backgrounds of all these guys on ESPN, ain't nobody on ESPN that can touch the backgrounds I got on those videos today.
Oh?
Yeah, this is the first time in my own office that I've had the lights on to look at everything that's on the cabinets and everything like that. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, if I drop it and you want to pick it up, that's fine. But I do realize that I've had a collection of signed stuff forever that just sat in storage. And then when we moved into this house, there was all these nice shelves. And I put it all up there, and no one ever comes in the office. Now that we're actually utilizing the office and I look around, I think I could compete with the ESPN guys.
I have one signed Craig Biggio baseball. I have a Yao Ming jersey. And then I just have three pictures on the wall. I have Lincoln, Lombardi, and Einstein. And that's it.
Lombardi? Barry?
Yeah. Yeah.
Way to go with the Chiefs after you had the man himself on your wall.
I mean, I have like other stuff, but like sports memorabilia. Oh, and then I have pictures from when I ran the marathon and they give you the trophy and the medal and all that, and I have that stuff. But the rest
so
of
the video guy said that AJ looked like
books.
He was in.
I have King Henry VIII, which is a fake book. I have a bunch of fake books in my office. And then I have real books, obviously. But my wife was big on getting me a bunch of fake books. I don't know why that's a thing.
If you watch the movie The Breakfast Club, you can tell why it's a thing. They went out and got, from the Chicago library system, they bought 10,000 books to make their library in the movie look authentic.
Really?
Yeah, they were gonna.
I've got to watch that documentary.
Yeah, it's awesome. The books were headed to an incinerator, and whoever was in charge of like getting all the different things for the movie itself called, and by chance the guy was like, "You might want to come down and see these before we get rid of them." They took all like 10,000 books, and she said because she was so worried about authenticity of people watching the movie going, "Oh, those books are out of order," that they literally put them back with the Dewey Decimal System from one to whatever and set them all up in the fake school.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's just too much work.
So the video guy said AJ looked like he was in prison, and he did. He literally had nothing but a completely naked wall behind him. His wife tried to come in at one point, and he waved her off.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then they subtly asked him to try and change the camera angle so they didn't get as much of his chins.
So y'all were doing the videos together?
Yeah. Yeah, we did like split screen, kind of like the Tony Kornheiser and Wilbon thing.
Oh, okay. Cool. And yeah, you were able to do that, or did they have to dispatch somebody out to your house to figure that out?
Bro, we had everyone from the video department had a window at the bottom of the screen. Josh was on, Jack was on, Brandon was on, me and AJ. I was like, oh my God, we've got way too many cooks in the kitchen. I'm staying out of it.
He was trying to figure it out. Well, you got connected. What software did y'all use, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, we did everything on our laptops for the videos. So
right.
we went through Google Chat, and they just did it through Google.
Oh, gotcha. So you use Google Chat. Okay.
Google Hangout, right?
Yeah, Hangout. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, by the way, the background, if you see it in the videos, but yeah, I'm not I understand what you got, Barry. I'm not gonna rattle them all off, but you can see the Wall of Fame has a bunch of stuff on it here that I'm looking at that I'm like, I wish I could have had people see this before I realized this room would never be used.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know if you missed it, but I nailed your What Up H
time. I heard it.
Everyone can suck it. I tried to respect you and not step on your that's your thing. But then I got so much grief for it that I was like, okay, bitches. I'm going to do it today. So I had to do it today. So I promise
it was
you
about a 4.5. I heard the 4.5.
Out of 5?
Out of 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I actually thought Nick was going to give it a go.
Oh, he's next. If you continue to have technical issues tomorrow, he gets to do it. We'll see how he does.
We can look forward to that happening. And then,
because we know you're going to have technical
issues. I'm
now
on the iPad, so I think everything should be good now.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you this. Hooking up, because we had to make – some AD had to make a couple of adjustments on the iPad. That's what the delay was today, and we were going through them. But in the meantime, when I was connecting, it's like literally like a towering inferno of pain in my ears every time I connected, and I got Matt Peralt.
I really hope you knocked him off the air when you did that.
I do too.
That would be
and
good.
I hope he stays off the air. I think SB Nation does too. So,
well,
whatever we can do to help Bell Media, we're here to do.
I started the segment, Joel. I'm going to end the segment. So it's a way back Wednesday. I don't even know if you got the theme. But, Nick, did you get my list?
You got a list? You sent the list in?
I saw it.
List already.
All right, we'll get
guys.
It. So you'll go first hour. It's all good. It's all good.
Nick, make him go all three
now
hours.
I'm already missing a song. Jeez,
no, you're not.
Louise.
No, you're not.
Well, so the theme for the day is, song. If you could only have 8 songs to be quarantined with, what would they be? That was the theme for the day.
And your first
song. So I've got
song,
my list in.
Your first song is what?
Responsible. Huh?
Junior Walker and the All-Stars?
Yeah. Shotgun. If you can't get excited by this song, I don't know what to tell you. You've got a
that
block or something.
That old, old school song is one you put on your must-haves?
Don't. I will drive to your house and shame you. Don't you dare say anything.
Well, I don't want you to have
any
reason to do that. So
listen to that. All right. We got a great show planned for you. We'll be back right after this. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Welcome in. It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. Barry in his palatial Laminack manner. Nick, unfortunately, is too important to be at the house. He is there at Gal Media Studios. I'm here at my house, and we are giving you the suspects all the way till 4 o'clock on what is a way out there, Way Back Wednesday. Kind of different, fellas, but I can get used to this.
Oh, you like working from the house, huh?
Well, I think once you get the setup and everything like that, and I see something, by the way, the most look at me moment I saw yesterday on television when they have everybody working from home, the Today Show went to Mike Tirico at his house in Florida. Y'all, he brought in the biggest microphone I've ever seen in my life. And it had like bass modules. It had all these different things. And the thing literally was as big as a coffee can. And I thought, oh, this is, look at me, look at my mic. I'm a broadcaster moment. The way he kind of just, with two hands, brought the thing into the shot. I was like, okay, that's a bit much.
Mike was stunting, huh?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, I was surprised he didn't try and get the logo full blown on it too, so people could understand what it was. But I'm sure it was very expensive based on how it looked.
I feel like everybody's stunting right now, right? Like everybody's like, okay, there's a chance to show off my house or show off my whatever. That's
not me. I would just get some fancy ass wallpaper and fool everybody. Yeah, looks like a mess in my house.
It's weird because we were talking about the ESPN guys, but then some of the local stations are trying to do it too. I know Fox 26 is trying to do it. And like the weather guy on 26 is using his big screen TV, so he's got his bookcase around it. And then the audio in most cases is just awful. And the ESPN guys, Orlovsky's in his living room. Marcus Spears just used that background that looks like he's outside a brick wall. And Dominique Foxworth, I don't know if he's trying to push he's got his own logo, but I couldn't even figure out what it was. But he had it on screens, and then it was also superimposed on a couple of walls behind him, and that's all that was there. And I'm going, no one knows what that is, but what are you doing?
I went out, I'm not going to lie, because I'm not sure what's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks for Houston Sports Show and whatnot. So I went out and after the show yesterday and bought a TV for my office. And I don't know how to mount this thing because the way my setup is I don't know where to put it. So it's just sitting on my desk right now. And you don't like it's a 32 inch TV. I got it for like $150 from Best Buy. So nothing crazy. But when you're right next to a 32 inch TV, it looks huge. Like if you put this on the wall and step back, it's not that big of a deal. But my thing is my wife was like, why are you doing that? I'm like, well, If I have to record something in here, I want to look fancy. So I get the weather guy thing. I'm gonna try to put something on there and make it look fancy. There's no wrong with that.
No, I get that. I mean, I just put the TV on in here in the office. I had to put batteries back in the remote. I wasn't sure.
Is that
what
you were doing just now? I could hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Look, part of this is the people want to feel like they're with you, so they understand the trials and tribulations of day one at home.
Cool. You're going to take us in there when you poop in between segments? And
did you, by the way, if you guys didn't hear this morning, first of all, we figured it out. Lance is going to Granado's house every morning to do the shows.
Oh, he is?
Then Lance waited for John to leave the room to talk about the fact that he had to use their restroom. And it was so foo-foo ritzy that he literally couldn't call it a restroom. He had to call it a powder room because it was to the level of having monogrammed paper towels.
Oh, wow.
Perfume spritzers. It was like he kept detailing all of it. And it was like, yeah. And then he goes, oh, and hey, John's back now. And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, what are you guys talking about? Oh, me and Raheel, we were just talking about some things with the Texans.
How funny.
Yeah. So doesn't that defeat the whole social distancing if they're doing the show together at Granado's house?
Pretty much.
Y'all should do the same thing. Barry should go over to Joel's house and y'all should just do the show together.
Why would I? He could like drive to my house. Why do I have to drive to his house?
Okay, Joel, you can drive over to Cut and Shoot and do the show together.
No, it's okay. After the whole helicopter incident with Kobe, I don't think it's suggested anybody uses a helicopter. That's what it would take to get to each other's house.
You have to do it on top of Barry's house because he doesn't get reception. AD had to set him up on top of the house because there's no reception in Cut and Shoot. So.
Well, but he does have the actual helipad landing spot on the one section of his house.
Not at all.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. So I heard you guys kind of getting into it, but everybody's gotten through the first. Not Nick, especially you. Are you okay with it? Well, you have a license to do what you've always been doing because of the letter you have, that you don't have to obey what everybody else has to and stay at home.
Yeah, but see, I guess I made it sound so exclusive on the show yesterday. Now that's what we were talking about when you were having your connection issues.
Yeah.
Is that there's a lot of people on the road. Now, there's not like it's traffic-y to the point where we normally deal with if there wasn't a crisis, but there's a lot more. There's a lot of people that are deemed essential. Let me just put it to you that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I told you guys yesterday. I was assuming yesterday when I had to race to the station that it would have been just a clear shot, and there was far too much traffic then. But even this morning, I was out and about grabbing coffee. I went to get coffee and come back, and there was a lot more people than I thought. Just, you know, and I don't know if they get pulled over, if they would have an excuse. But, yeah, I was surprised too.
Well, the order went in effect until midnight last night, so if you got out during the day yesterday, even after the show, then there was going to still be people milling about.
I'm talking about this morning.
Oh, this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And here's the other thing.
It's not a mandatory. I mean, we're not under martial law. They're just basically suggesting that if you don't need to get out, like to go get coffee, don't get out and go get coffee. Stay home, make coffee like a normal person.
No, but you said if you don't have to. Well, I have to, so I do. And here's the other thing.
Do you? You don't have a coffee maker at the house?
Yeah, Lisa uses it. It's fine. That's what she wants is her coffee. I get what I need.
Well, way to endanger the rest of the public, Joel, for your selfish coffee needs.
Don't leave that to me. Leave it. And my people at Starbucks are great people. But when you go and reach for my card barehanded and then no gloves and then hand me my drink and then hand me the card back and I'm looking at the card like, I got to take this home and disinfect this too.
Well, maybe if you just stayed home, you wouldn't have to go through that, Joel.
I don't know why that bothers you. I'm going to go out and about more now.
Stop endangering the public, Joel. Be a good corporate, be a good responsible citizen.
Barry, I have the loophole because the regulations that were laid down said
not coffee.
If you have essential duties or you care
who
for
who sounds
a
more bougie when they say it now, Barry? See, me or him?
Him, for sure.
See?
The regulations say if you have immediate duties or you care for a loved one. I care for my loved ones so I can be out and about.
Oh, my God. Well, just know that the rest of the public thinks you're a jerk because you think you're special so you can get out and go get coffee. Just FYI.
I'm sorry to take that title from you, but I'll try and give it back as soon as possible. All right, that's it. The first half hour of the show. Still got 2.5 hours to go. It's the usual suspects on a way back Wednesday, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just a half hour into the big show. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday. If you could only have 8 songs to be quarantined with, what would they be? Barry, hour number one. I am almost done with my list, Nick. I don't care. I guess I'll take hour number two. You can have hour number three and have more time.
I hope you don't have any of my songs.
Are you done already?
I only got 3.
Oh, well then, tough luck until you finish your list.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think there's 2 of them that you're definitely going to take. 1 for sure you're not. Do you have any Beyonce songs?
No.
Yeah, I got a Beyonce song.
Which one? I'm jelly.
Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just sent my list in, so we're good. Got that done. So I was just telling you guys as we were getting into that in terms of the backgrounds and things like that.
I wouldn't be opposed if we did it the right way. I wouldn't be opposed if we, instead of the Twitch, if there was a way to do the Twitch feed where we were all, like, that people could see us.
Oh, you just want to show off your collection. That's why.
No, uh-uh. No, because I worry about massive. That, because then I would worry about people
pictures,
wanting.
It looks really good, but I feel like you just want to show off.
No, if I wanted to show off, I would put those on Twitter. I just sent them to YouTube people.
How long did it take you to build up this collection of autographed stuff?
Pretty much my whole professional life. So, really? It started when I was a ball boy working in Milwaukee growing up because I ran the visiting team locker room. So it was like, every night you had a different team in there with all-stars and things like that. And somehow I thought about the fact that it'd be cool to get stuff like, basketballs and things signed by those guys. And then lucky enough, my mom never threw it away and she saved a lot of them. And then in all my doing, every year I was with a sports team, you get people that always say, hey, can you send me something from so-and-so for an auction? Or you've got friends that work at teams. Or I had a lot of friends that worked at different teams that were like, hey, at the end of the year, we're getting rid of these things. Do you want them? And I'd be like, yeah, if you're going to throw them out. And so nice. It accumulated over time, but I had a townhouse and I never displayed them. And when we moved to a house, I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to put some of these things out there.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Yeah. It's a nice collection.
Thank you. So, that was the fun part. The bad part was because my lighting director and fashionista just came in here and she goes, hey, did it all work? And I go, no, radio, we got delayed to get you down. I'm not worried about that. How'd the videos turn out? Did they like the background? Did they like the lighting? And I'm like, no, you did a fantastic job. She goes, we really should use this room. I go, yeah, if we could get all your baby crap out of here, sure. Okay. Seriously, literally.
What?
My office has become the baby storage area. As I sit here talking to you guys, there's two car seats. There are four or five boxes of diapers and wipes. Essentially, this is Lisa's dumping zone because I'm not in here a lot. For everything baby-related that she doesn't want out and about.
Well, you got to put a lock on the door.
I had one, and she got pissed off about it. Actually have our security system. This room is wired like Fort Knox because of all the stuff in it. I have it separately. This is the one Laminac thing I did to our house. My office is wired and secure and double secured all by itself with warnings and notifications as opposed to separate from all the rest of the house.
Oh yeah.
So I know when anybody's in this office, I know when the office doors are open or closed. Yeah. So at least we did that.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Did you boys see this Tillman Fertitta story?
I did. Pretty wild, man.
Yeah. We talked about
not
it.
Not shocking. Not surprising at all.
To me, it kind of is, and I don't know why, but, we talked about it the other day when the Chronicle ran the story about him and not giving, basically telling everybody to try and use your vacation and your benefits and starting to lay people off. And then when it got such a negative reaction, they did a 180. The Chronicle had to write a retraction saying they changed their mind. But now, Bloomberg News, the headline is, billionaire Fertitta furloughs 40,000 workers at his casinos and his restaurant empire. Up to 70% of his workers are all laid off.
But why does this surprise you? Because you said doesn't surprise you.
Or you said for a lot of reasons.
You. It doesn't surprise me.
Why does it surprise you?
I mean, if you don't have any income, if your casino is completely shut down, if all of your restaurants are completely shut down except for takeout, you can't afford to continue to just to pay people. The problem, I think, with the thinking is, and don't get me wrong, I think billionaires like Tillman Fertitta should be giving a lot of money back to the people. Sigmund Bloom had a great tweet where he said, if you're worth more than $10 million, you should be giving money back to, you should be buying masks or doing whatever to help people and help our society because you profited off of this society. So now it's your turn to step up to the plate. And so when you're a billionaire like Tillman Fertitta, yes, I think he should be donating money or buying masks or doing whatever he can to help. But at the same time, you still have to be a smart businessman. And if your business doesn't have income, you can't afford to pay employees. That's a sad, unfortunate fact of the times that we live in.
But Barry, based on
you see what all the things Mark Cuban's doing too. And for all purposes that I would think, I think Tillman's on the same level as Mark Cuban business-wise in terms of his holdings, what he's got, how much of his assets could be liquid. But I would think that in a situation like this, assuming that this doesn't go 6 months, I would think that he's still in a position and has enough assets to be able to cover this and not be in hot water. But maybe I'm wrong, because to me, I know how Les Alexander did business. And I know that from the time that Les Alexander was the owner of the Rockets and previous to when he bought the team, he did all of his profitability. He made all of his money by junk bonds, quick buys, quick sells, no human compassion. And so his was just basically he made moves like this for a lot of reasons because he didn't realize, you know, people have families and the impact it could have if you just said get rid of a person or you know, do this, do that, you know, let this tell this person they don't have a job anymore. So I thought it was different when you get a guy like Tillman who has obviously wealth beyond belief across many different platforms, restaurants, casinos, and now with the team, that you would think that he didn't take every cent he had and put it into purchasing the Rockets, that he had enough that he could have his assets liquid enough to where he could cover some of this.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's use numbers, okay? There's 40,000 employees that he's furloughed. Mm-hmm. If on the average they make $30,000 a year, you divide that by 12, okay, then that's $2,500 a month. So now you have to multiply that by 40,000 people. If he's going to cover their salary just for 1 month, he's going to cover 40,000 people, $2,500 on average. That's $100 million.
Okay, but I'm just saying
that's a lot of money to come out of pocket.
My whole thing is that it's not fair to compare Mark Cuban to Tillman Fertitta because Cuban is not really in the casino industry. He's really more in the technology industry.
Yeah.
So
and
you can kind of take care of the people in the arena from a basketball owner and a team franchise aspect. Maybe you have a player or two on your roster that's willing to donate and help. That's one thing. But when you start talking about casinos, you have to have all these bartenders present, all these dealers present, all these people that actually require presence to be there in order for it to be a functional business like a casino. Cuban's in like technology businesses where there's a lot of developers and geeks in an office somewhere. Then it's just a completely different dynamic. It's harder for someone like Fertitta to say, you know what? Despite you guys not being dealing cards and not being bartenders and not that, I'm still going to pay you, what was the number, Barry? $100 million a month. And that's on average. I mean, probably a good portion of those 40,000.
Everybody makes 30K.
Yeah. Some of those might make 60 or 70.
Yeah. And some of them are going to make 20 to 25. It just depends, right? So, I mean, that's why I said, let's just assume on a low average across the board of those 40,000. And it might be higher. And it might be lower. But just even if you assume $30,000 a year, that's $2,500 a month pre-tax. So if he's just going to cut a check for $2,500 a month to everybody, that's a lot of money. For what?
No, and I understand what you're saying too, but again, part of the reason why they are in the position that they're at, and Nick, you make a valid point about Mark Cuban, but the thing to me is when you look at it, obviously these businesses are profitable. So month in, month out, you're making money, whether you have some kind of contingency fund or, you know, an emergency fund, or you're doing something somehow, some way to kind of prepare in case something, whether it be to this level or just some other thing could happen where they might need emergency funding. But I don't think that, you know, he's obviously it's not living paycheck to paycheck, but he didn't make all this money and not profit month to month to where he didn't have resources he could pull from or a loan he could get, knowing that essentially if this isn't going to last more than a couple months at worst, that when everybody comes out from under this, that the profitability is going to come back again and you're going to be able to, you know, repay the loan, whatever it is that you take out.
I'm sure Tillman Fertitta is a smart enough businessman where he has some sort of insurance policy, self-insurance policy or contingency plan in the event of a natural disaster. I just don't know how much of a plan you can manufacture to cover $100 million or even, and I'm not saying those numbers are specific, but I would tend to agree with Barry. That's a very fair guesstimation of it. I just think it's hard. I think the other thing too, when I Google Tillman Fertitta, that's the first thing, you know, you see Fertitta Brillo's 40,000 workers. I think it's fair to be a headline. And I'm not saying Joel or Barry are saying this. I just think it's unfair to criticize Tillman Fertitta for this. Like, I don't think it's a justifiable criticism when you consider the economic crisis that we're all going to. Yeah, make note of it. You know, it's certainly going to bring in clicks, but I just think it puts Fertitta in a bad light when I feel like it's just not fair. It's hard to just continue to pay.
Yeah, and I'm not 40, trying to poop. I'm
right.
not trying
month
to
in a month out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to poop on Tillman, but what I'm saying is that you would think that with all the money that he's made that, you know, he's in a good enough financial position to be able to at least short term do something to avoid, you know, the bad look. Because, look, the Chronicle article was one thing. This isn't Bloomberg News. This is a national publication that, you know, you're getting, whether we positioned it bad look or not, it's a bad look from just the average reader's perspective when they read these articles and see these things. And I got to tell you, people, that the Rockets employees are looking over their shoulder now because they saw the article and they're like, well, what about us? I mean, how soon till this hits us too? And they don't have the answers.
I just don't know how you operate a business, any business, if you have zero, and I mean zero, like even with a restaurant doing takeout, it's still a percentage of the money you'd be getting, but you're making money. You could probably, you know, work in shifts and don't have as many employees at one time on the clock. And some of them are probably working on tips and, you know, maybe you have, cause there was a skeleton crew at the Big City Wings last night, but they were still operating and they were still trying to have income. But if your doors are closed and you have 0.0% income coming in, how can you afford to pay people? That just doesn't make smart business sense. That's how you go out of business. And so when you furlough, you say, look, I'm not firing you guys. I'm just not going to be able to pay you until I have income. That's how business works. Right. And it's a sad, unfortunate fact about it all. And I mean, hell, that could be us. If advertisers stop advertising and there's no money coming in, it may just be Charlie Polillo for 10 hours a day. You just don't know. So, you know, it's just a unfortunate reality of where we're at. That's why I say it's not surprising because businesses, even billionaires, are having to make tough decisions, and it's easy to expect them to come out of pocket $100 million, but that's not fair.
I mean, I see both sides of it, but I mean, I just think that from a profitability standpoint, it's perplexing to me because in the Bloomberg article, he even goes back and says, as soon as I see us making the turn and everything's going to reopen, we are 100% going to buy back our debt. I see that as a great opportunity, but he understands that for the short term, the golden nugget is going to obviously create some debt. But in creating that debt, I mean, again, the nugget's going to come back and be both the nugget here in Louisiana, the nugget in Vegas. You know, he controls the entire
let me ask you this. Would you come out of your pocket $100 million a month for your employees?
I mean, I would do my best to try and do something like that. I would border on being more like Mark Cuban and trying to do whatever I could to make sure my employees are covered. And yes, you make the great point that in the entertainment industry is different than being, you know, in the whatever you want to call Mark Cuban's internet industries. I just think that it is a lot of people to try and take care of as opposed to other businesses, but if you indeed believe that things are going to bounce back, you're also in a position because of what you have in terms of the NBA franchise and all these different entities and properties, you are in a position where the profitability is going to bounce back quick. And as part of it, you could be smart and get into the market now, buy low, and then have everything bounce back high. And then the profits that you turn there could be used to try and offset what you did to try and keep your employees while this was going on.
Joel, that doesn't make any sense because you're still minus $100 million a month. So going forward, you don't get to, it doesn't just I'm just going to get that $100 million back. You're never going to get that $100 million back.
Okay, well we could just agree. Obviously, I'm not trying to do the whole $100 million, but I would think that there's enough people that you know you could take care of.
It's just
substantial
it's easier
amount.
To spend other people's money. It's a lot easier for the public to spend other people's money. I admire guys like Mark Cuban when they do it, but it's unrealistic to expect Tillman Fertitta to just pay employees for a business that has zero income.
Okay, well, there's that, and we'll continue to move on. If you guys want to chime in on the show, 713 713- 780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line. You definitely can text the show as we can check those texts. You can also reach us on Twitter at TheProducerNick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to our normal form.
Oh, I hate you.
Hey,
this is
what?
Not the one, Nick.
I'm sorry. I don't like the remix. This one's sexier.
I love that. It's not your list. It's my list.
That's fantastic. Nick uses editorial control.
I don't like his version, so I'm not playing it.
Play my version right now. Remarable remix.
Fine. Hold on. Hold on.
The best half the one. Time.
You know what I told him? Joel,
half the time.
As we're coming back, I'm talking to Nick, and I go, what are you doing? That's not the right one. He goes, this is sexier. You don't get the you don't get to
half
choose.
The time we don't get the selection the cut that we want, but he gets to use editorial control to decide which on your list he wants to hear because it's sexier. Yeah.
I think most people, considering the times and we're all stuck at home, would appreciate the sexier version. At the producer Nick.
How about appreciating the context of his list? In dealing with the coronavirus, if you only had 8 songs to choose from, you're not in the room with him. And in your case, it's sexier, but sexier with who? Because you're supposed to be practicing social distancing too.
I mean, I am. I mean, I'm the only one in the room right now.
I think that's going to be that way for a long time unless you find Tyler sexy.
All right, so here's the one I liked.
I know these so-called players would enter your dish.
And then here's the one that he likes. Who are you going to be dancing with? By yourself? Just looking in the mirror, dancing by yourself with the coronavirus out and about?
He's got to have something to motivate him to do burpees and squats when he's by himself. Yes.
I don't want any slow jams. I don't need slow jams. I'm too old for slow jams.
I'm kind of with him on
no.
that.
Why?
I don't need slow jams to have sex with my wife. I just
yeah. Here's the thing:
these songs are for me. If I'm working out or I just want to sing, these are for me. This isn't
yeah,
slow
and
jam
if we
sexy
did,
time.
If we altered our list to say 8 songs that you would need when you and your wife are stranded during the or whatever significant other, then it might change the entire complexity of the list. But not
yeah.
no, huh? I'm with
Next
Barry
week,
on this
we're
going
to do 8 songs you'd want to bang it out to during the quarantine. And then you can add the slow jam version on your list because I still
yep.
don't like the slow jam version.
Fine. We'll just yeah. go with your remix version that nobody likes.
Damn.
Except for you and Joel.
I said Nick's was better. Sorry, Barry. That person is now blocked.
So, Barry, here's the thing. When Nick submits his list, you can go through it and you can at least alter one song into the version you like better. Of any
there
of those 8
you
songs.
Go. I'm going to put something stupid. Well, all of his songs are going to be dumb anyway. Somebody texted earlier and was like, is Nick going to have I'm Blue and Tub Thumper on there? Probably.
I don't think there's any doubt.
There's no worse version of Tub Thumper than Tub Thumper. I mean, all the versions are Tub Thumper, so they're all terrible. I'm Blue? It doesn't matter what remix you play. It's awful no matter what.
Completely
How many
disagree.
Country songs? Okay, you're going to have a Tupac song. How many country songs are you going to have, Nick?
I don't have one yet. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 songs, and I don't have one country song yet. So,
okay.
But I should add
well,
one.
There's time. Yeah, there's time.
By the way, one quick point to add to our little discussion, and this might work against our argument, Barry. If you were to assume the net worth between the two, Mark Cuban and Tillman Fertitta, I don't know about you guys, but I would assume Tillman Fertitta only because of the casinos, right? Because I feel like casinos is.
I think Tillman would have
more.
But.
Well, now you have to. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you have to take into account what he paid for his team and what it's worth now.
Ah, that's a good
because
point.
Because Cuban bought in a lot earlier and has the equity on his franchise
Fair
is
point.
Going to be a lot more.
And he also hit it big to be able to have the money to buy the team in the first place. He was big on the Hoop It Up tournament.
You talking about Cuban?
Yeah. And he got
in. Now remember, that's old money. That's going to be older money because if he sold and got his millions and billions 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and I know he's growing his money and buying other businesses, but overall, I think his money is older versus a casino who's just basically printing new money all the time.
So according to Google, Tillman Fertitta, net worth $4.4 billion, Mark Cuban $4.3. Now, I don't know how accurate.
Oh, wow.
But that's what's surprising to me. If that's a license to print money, basically, that's kind of like the analogy that people use. It's just so much money to be made in a casino. You would think that he's significantly worth more.
Well, and the only difference between the two is Cuban paid his employees this month. That's why he's a little bit short.
But they've both been hovering around 4.2, 4.2, 4.3 billion for the past 2 or 3 years. So it's just weird to me. I obviously don't know. I mean, I'm not that much of a businessman to know, but I just feel like if you own casinos, you'd be worth a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, and I think that the thing that I was alluding to, too, between the two is, I don't know how you guys perceived when Tillman bought the team, but I thought, local guy, great story. He's going to do great things for the city, the team, the organization, the people. It's going to be a huge deal of positivity. And what I'm hearing and seeing is the complete opposite of what I thought was going to be the transition from Les Alexander-owned team to a Tillman Fertitta-owned team. I don't know how you guys feel.
How much of a difference it would be? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because people knew Les was cheap. People knew that Les wasn't a people person. I mean, the reputation early on was there was a revolving door of people that were, you know, fired like weekly. And he had a different way of running his business. And to me, it didn't seem like Tillman was that kind of guy. But I mean, I'll be the first to say, I think I may be wrong.
Well, apparently people are texting and tweeting and saying, you know, Tillman doesn't have the best reputation as being a nice guy to his employees.
Yeah, I didn't know
so
that.
So I don't know that to be true. That's what people are saying. I don't know. I know when you're a billionaire and you run a lot of companies, you're probably not going to be everybody's favorite person because you have to make tough decisions. You have to make tough business decisions. And, you know, you have to do things that are best for your company and your empire. And sometimes that's going to affect an individual employer or group of employees. So you may not like it, and if I was one of those employees, I probably would feel the same way, but not being on the inside of the company or his empire, it's easier to judge. But, you know, I don't know that, and I don't want to speculate that Tillman's a bad guy or a bad employer just because some people are texting the show and saying that.
Right.
But apparently that people perceive.
I have people that have worked for him in other businesses, and obviously I know a lot of people that work for him currently with the Rockets, and I just think that, to me, it was an eye-opener because of the fact that I looked at this as a fresh start to get a really positive Houston-based owner that's going to be really dedicated to, you know, taking care of the Houston community, keeping the team, you know, functioning well and competing for championships. And I'm finding out that there's a different side to this. Whether, like you said, Barry, I'm not saying that every text message and tweet is right in what they're telling us either, but we've also had employees from other parts of his business in the past get in contact with us to say things like that. And that just caught me off guard because I, from the outside looking at Tillman, I never saw that. I didn't anticipate that.
I'm with you. I thought it would have been a much more positive relationship with the community and him. But, you know, when you're entrenched in the community already with the businesses that you own, the restaurants and everything, maybe that's not going to be the case. You know? I don't know.
I would hate to own a business right now.
What's that?
I would hate to own a business right now, especially one that requires several employees. I don't want to make those decisions.
Yeah,
you know,
I would.
Tough.
It's tough. It's not an easy decision to have to make. Somebody said, they texted said, if you live off the sweat of 40,000 people, you have the responsibility in times like this to give some back. Do you? That's the question. I'm not suggesting you do or you don't. I would counter your argument with, if you've been providing them with a paycheck, and no, I mean they're not required to work there. they got a job, and you pay them a fair wage, an agreed upon wage, to do their job. So do you owe them anything outside of the job you've provided them?
It's a fine line,
again,
right?
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's a fine line because of the fact that you can, from a financial standpoint and from the prosperity of your business, you're right. You can make those decisions because you're looking out for number one. You're looking out for yourself. But then you bring in public perception and the judge and jury of you doing something like that and how it's perceived overall publicly, and then the ramifications of it going forward, to which you may think that you may know in the heart of hearts in your gut that you made the right decision for the betterment of your business. But then because it's really poo-pooed on by the public going forward, people are going, I'm not supporting his business anymore. And then they start trashing you. And then what you normally would have been profitability and all these different things that you own would be taking hits too. So you're right. It is a slippery slope.
Yeah. I don't know. It's same thing like with the back and forth that the government's been going through, and I'm going to get political here for a second, but you know, we've been hearing about, well, the Democrats want certain things and the Republicans want certain things, and the Democrats are saying the Republicans, this relief measures is too much focused on corporate America, and the Republicans are saying that the Democrats are, look, there's got to be a balance, because without companies, there are no jobs. And if you don't bail out these companies, they go away. Guess what? You have no jobs left. So you have no income. So if you're far left and you're upset because they're bailing out corporate America, they're bailing out your jobs. They're bailing out, when they bail out Boeing, as crazy it may seem, there are a lot of people that work for Boeing. And without that money, they lay people off. You'd still be mad at Boeing. And I think the same is true when you deal with a billionaire like Tillman Fertitta. If he doesn't furlough people, then he's got to shut down restaurants or casinos, because it's not his responsibility personally to bail out a company. At some point, you have to step back from that. So there's a middle ground, and people tend to just go too far one way or the other. But you got to be a little more, I guess, understanding of the situation. I don't know.
We got to go to break. So it's a good discussion worth having. We can continue it, or we can see the feedback. But good luck, AJ. I hope that the political people come at you during this commercial break, because that was one that's one you're probably going to have to deal with based on our listenership. We're late for a break. We're going to get one.
Care.
And then we're going to open up hour number two with much more of the suspects. So don't go anywhere, right here on ESPN 97.5.